Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
And welcome on in. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000 till 11 a.m. on this beautiful sunny day in the city of Chicago. Plenty of people probably getting on out there and hitting some golf balls today, whether you're just going to be on the range, whether you're going to get in 9, 18, whatever it is. It's a great day for golf out there. Started a little cold, but as the day warms up, so will the golf action out there as well. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. We'll talk to Jeff Kellen, who is the head PGA golf professional at North Shore Country Club, and Andy Swoboda as well, the head PGA golf pro at Butler National Golf Club. And what do those two have in common? Well, they will both be participating in the PGA Championship this upcoming week as the PGA golf pros. We remember last year was a fantastic story with Michael Block and all that went into it. What did he finish? 15th last year, I want to say.
Yeah.
He got a tie for 15th.
Yeah. He got into the top 15 with that up and down, that miraculous up and down at 18.
And he had the ace as well.
Yeah. And he had Rory McIlroy just shaking his head in utter disbelief watching a club professional do as well as he did. And that was a very special moment for, you know, all the 30,000 PGA of America members that are out there. They were proud of their colleague, Michael Block. And, you know,
he'll be back as well this year.
Oh, yeah. No, he's back. And he's back not because he didn't qualify.
Right.
He's exempt. I mean, that's a, you know, I don't know the last time a club professional was exempt into the PGA Championship. It's been a long, long time. But, you know, with these two, Jeff and our friend
Andy.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say Andrew Swoboda at Butler National. These two, this is the first time the Illinois PGA since 2004 has had two players in their major championship. So this is a big, big deal. The last time this happened, Roy Biancalana and Mike Small from the University of Illinois, both players, if you will, are legends in Illinois golf. So, you know, Andy and Jeff are, you know, entering elite company if you look at the landscape of Illinois golf. And if you look at their records, it's amazing. You know, Jeff doesn't have much experience tournament wise where Andy has actually been on the PGA Tour for a short bit of his career, like 3 years. He's spent time on the web.com tour and he's won 11 times. But Jeff, on the other hand, is your typical protege, club professional from North Shore. So we have two different types of approaches into this thing and how they're getting into the game. With Andy's at the age of 44, and Jeff is much younger at, like, I think around 35 years old. So different stages of their careers, and, you know, for Jeff, it'll be the highest stage he's ever played on. And I think for Andy, it'll be the fifth major, if I'm not mistaken. He's played in four U.S. Opens. So
okay. He
is not uncomfortable, I don't believe. I think he'll have his nerves better under control than Jeff might.
Right.
I think Jeff might be able to learn something from Andy. But it's exciting for Illinoisans, and we're proud of them both.
Absolutely. So Jeff will join us at 9:35, Andy at 10:35. Looking forward to those conversations. As we get closer and closer to the PGA Championship, I mean, we are just a handful of days away now. You'll be headed down to Valhalla, which will be a lot of fun for you, getting back to your PGA roots. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's been fun just getting organized to go down there. Speaking with some of the colleagues I used to work with, they've set me up. I've got my own workstation in the media center. I've got my own radio booth for our show both Saturday and Sunday next week. Mm-hmm. We're on the air live both days. So kind of exciting with a major championship, and for me, being able to go back to Louisville where, you know, when they hosted their first night, you know, championship in 1996, I was a large piece of, you know, what went into the building, everything outside the ropes, infrastructurally wise, to house the major championship the first time in Louisville. So, you know, we had a merchandising tent that was well over a size of a football field, a media center that was equal in size. And we had to build all this out in a way that was going to be, you know, right for its first championship. But we were also looking at it from a long-term investment because the PGA of America, shortly after that, purchased Valhalla. So they owned that club for many of the latest championship, Ryder Cups, and senior events that have come through. But in just recent times, the PGA of America has sold the club back to the membership. So now, for the first time, Valhalla is actually going to be operating much like any other country club that's hosting a major championship. It is not owned any longer by the PGA of America. So it will be an event that'll be put on by Louisvillians, by Valhalla members, and it will be governed by the PGA of America just like they always have. So it's going to be an exciting week. Louisvillians support this thing like no other. This is one of the biggest. I mean, yes, they have the best 2 minutes in sports, so to speak, mm-hmm. but they also have one heck of a golf course in Valhalla out there just east of the city. And they have proven time over time that they come out in droves corporately, volunteer-wise, you know, ticket buyers, the whole enchilada. Louisvillians love their golf, and golf loves Louisville.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a little bit of Oak Hill last year mm-hmm. and, like, just Rochester, New York. Like, it's a more of a collegiate town than it is a professional town, with Rochester being as close as it is to, like, where I used to go to school in Syracuse. Like, when there is a big-time event that comes to a city like that, and I think you can say that about most collegiate towns, which I would characterize Louisville as, when there's a big-time event like that, the city shows out because it's like the biggest show in town is coming to our neighborhood. And they feel like it's their duty to show out as citizens and show that the community wants more events like this. And I think Louisville's a perfect example because Louisville's kind of that in-between town where doesn't really get a lot of professional sports. I guess you could say Cincinnati's right across the river there. It doesn't really have a huge professional landscape, but, like, it's recognizable to the common fan. And, I mean, the Louisville Slugger, obviously, is very, very big. You brought up the Kentucky Derby there with Churchill Downs. Very, very big. But it's not like there's a lot of big pro events that are held in that town. I'm trying to think. No professional sports teams, to my knowledge, that I'm thinking up off the top of my head.
I mean, aside from the River Bats minor league,
yeah, the Triple A, yeah,
mm-hmm. they've got some minor league ball in that town. But I would tell you, it is a thoroughbred horse racing community through and through. But with horse racing and thoroughbreds, I mean that is a different economic stratosphere than most sports.
Correct.
But with those same, you know, economic stratospheres comes the love for golf as well. Mm-hmm. So you combine the love of horse racing and golf together, and that's where you have, you know, your country club fabric, if you will, of Louisville is from that cloth. And they love their golf just as much as they love their horse racing, and it shows. But to your point, Louisville is one of those mid-sized markets and is a collegiate town through and through. I mean, you are either blue and white or you're red and black. There is no mm-hmm. in between. That's the Cubs and Sox of Kentucky, if you
right.
will. You know, you're either a UK or a Louisville fan, but, you know, you can't be a house divided in that state or Commonwealth, I should say. But, yeah, they roll out because, you know, the Visitors Bureau, the convention and visitors bureaus that we would meet with, you know, as we would come into a community and start the process, you know, that 4 to 5 year process of being in their community, the pre-planning and all that administrative to the actual event itself. You know, they tell us that they use these events to attract new business and for people to come into their community and move and relocate. It means a lot more, I think, to a city like Louisville than it would be to a city like Chicago. Chicago
For sure.
is so much more established and has so much maturity in its growth already, where a community like Louisville, their economic impact that they're going to see next week is going to be so felt and feel so good for a community as that. It will be felt. And where an event like this in our city, it would just be a little you know,
right,
just because
yeah. I mean, I think the
everything
perfect,
that we've going.
Perfect examples are like if something's ever at Bethpage in New York, or if something right. is ever like last year we saw at LA Country Club.
Perfect example.
Like those are big cities, but the beat will go on if there is no major that comes to your town. Like LA is LA, right? New right. York is New York. They'll be fine with or without it. But Louisville, like that is a community invigorating event there that I think is great for them. And it's why I like seeing it, some of these events. And it's not just the majors, but any PGA Tour stops that go to some of these smaller towns. It is kind of cool to see what it does for the community and how that community really embraces golf for a stretch of a week.
And the players will tell you that. The players notice a distinct difference when they roll into an event that's in a smaller, mid-sized market where the event is the big fish in the pond. They feel that. They feel it in the hospitality the moment they step off the airplane when there's volunteers to actually greet them. In Chicago, we probably wouldn't do that because mm-hmm. we just couldn't do that with O'Hare. It would just be too logistically much of a nightmare. But it's some of these other communities when only get a dozen flights arriving a day.
Right.
I mean, it's a whole different atmosphere at those airports, let me tell you. So the logistics and how you produce events and what you can do is amazing. And for these people that are, when they're going to see the world's greatest coming into their community, they roll out the red carpet in a way that makes it feel somewhat big city, big time, but it still has that small market friendly feel.
No doubt about
that. That's what Louisville will be all about this week.
And listen, don't let what we've been saying for the past 5 minutes say that we don't want more of these PGA Tour live golf stops in Chicago.
Oh, no.
Of course, we do want
absolutely
those here, but it certainly means a lot to a lot of these smaller communities like a Louisville is. You want to join us 312-332-3776. When we come back, I do want to get into conversation about what's happening or maybe not happening at the Wells Fargo right now and how it's going to impact what we will see next week at Valhalla. We'll do all that when we come back. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan talking golf with you every single Saturday here on ESPN 1000.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talk golf with you every single Saturday here on ESPN 1000. Good stuff going on out at Quail Hollow this week at the Wells Fargo as everyone getting prepped up, a new elevated event that'll get you going and get you primed up for the PGA Championship. And right now, I mean, Xander Schauffele has played some excellent golf. He is currently your leader at 11 under, four strokes ahead of the pack. That's where you find Rory McIlroy and Jason Day. Taylor Moore, Sung Jae Im at 6 under. They're 5 off the lead. Colin Morikawa has had a very good Thursday. Not as good on Friday, but still good enough to be in sixth place right now. He is 6 strokes off the lead. You know, Xander Schauffele is... I kind of lump him and Patrick Cantlay together, not just because they're Zurich Classic partners, but because they've kind of followed similar career trajectories where it always seems like they're in the fold. A lot of people always say, oh, this is Xander's turn. Oh, this is Patrick's turn to finally break through and win a major, and we just have not seen it happen yet. Xander playing phenomenal golf right now, fires a 64 on Thursday, 67 on Friday, and now he's got a chance heading into Louisville for next week to go out and finally claim that first major. And it's just is it finally the time for Xander, or is this going to be one of those things? Are these guys going to be in the Ricky Fowler class forever? And for me, with both of those guys, Xander and Patrick, I'll believe it when I see it at this point. Like, it's been so long that we've been teased and dragged along on this that I'm at a point right now where, great, you're doing fantastic on the tour, but we haven't seen you do it in the majors, and I'll believe it when I see it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Xander, if it doesn't happen now, when is it going to happen?
How old are the two?
I think he's 33 or 34.
Xander is 30. And then Cantlay is...
I think Cantlay's
32. So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, they're reaching their primes.
Yes.
Because they say that 33, 34 is the ultimate prime of a PGA Tour player. So, Xander looks so good right now. That Olympic experience, and he's won many other events, but he's got the title of the best player right now who hasn't won a major. But will that change? The next 36 holes, at Quail Hollow will be very telling. But let's say he does win. Does that put more pressure on him to turn right around and win again to lose that moniker or lose that title of best player without having won a major? So Xander is setting himself up for that, but at the same time, he's also looking awfully good to be the guy to actually get that done and lose that title.
You know what's funny? Like, yes, he is the best player to not win a major right now, but if you ask me who's going to win the race to their first major, I wouldn't put him up. Like, especially if you asked me last year, I would have said Victor Hovland would win a major before. Now, a lot of that's changed. Victor Amazing Hovland. What an offseason can do, because Victor Hovland has not been it this year. He has really struggled to not just perform, but to make cuts. He fired 72-72 the last 2 days. Right now, he is even through his first three holes, but he has not looked good at any portion of this season. It looked like maybe the Masters were going to be his turning point, because he was inside the top 10 after the first round at Augusta, but he didn't make the cut.
No, he had a wonderful front nine on the first day.
Yeah.
And then after that, nothing happened at Augusta for him. I put the Victor watch on a little bit yesterday. He actually was five over at one point. So he did play some to get it down to only finishing at plus two. But had they had a cut, he wouldn't have made the cut. So Victor thanked the world for having like a live type of an event now, because you benefit by not making the cut. Now, does that help him before heading to Valhalla to work on his game while he's literally on the course? Who knows? But I can tell you, if Victor doesn't turn this thing around in a quick hurry, he's already just beyond 100 places on the FedEx Cup points. He's in threat of not even making it after winning it. So that's the, complete turnaround in a not so good way that Victor's experiencing right now. He's always been a slow starter, but boy, this is really becoming like molasses in January start.
Yeah. Now, here's a name I would throw at you to see which guy you would believe would win a major first, who would win the race to their first major. Xander, and we could throw Cantlay into this lumping as well. Xander, Cantlay, or Tommy Fleetwood?
Well, I think right now I'd have to go with Xander, because I think it's going to be his year finally to break through. Cantlay's had those chances. I don't know that his game right now is in particularly great shape, as he is, having what I'll call a so-so average or subpar event in his, in his own eyes.
I think he would have been in that same grouping as Victor of guys who maybe would have missed the cut had there been a cut.
Yeah.
Because he has not looked good either. Him and Victor both. He actually was one shot behind Victor actually yesterday. So, yeah, it has not looked good for those two leading into the important stretches of the season here.
No, and it hasn't. And there's others that are there, too. You're wondering, like, what happened to, Wyndham Clark, Ricky Fowler, Jake Knapp, Adam Shank. They're all, they all would have missed the cut. And this is the week prior to a major. So maybe it's the philosophy, I don't want to peak too soon, because that would be my fear if Xander does win. I think almost the best thing that could happen to Xander is that he doesn't win, but learn something from the loss that he could take to Valhalla to finally get over the hump. I just think it's going to be awfully hard to win at Quail and turn right around and keep that same momentum into a week of a major that is going to be very unique and different, because it is going to be full of raving fans. It's going to be a week that's going to be absolutely insane, because it's in Louisville. So it's going to be a fun week down there.
For sure. Couple of guys that are not participating this week that I think are noteworthy. No Scottie Scheffler this week at the Wells Fargo. He will participate in the PGA Championship. And then also, this is the interesting one. Guy who finished runner-up at the Masters, Ludvig Åberg, is not participating because of a knee injury right now that he's nursing. Seems like he's hopeful he'll play in the PGA Championship, but if you took out the knee injury, I think a lot of people would be picking this guy to go out and win at the PGAs this week. And after such a strong showing in his first major last week at Augusta, I think a lot of people would have thought this kid has a chance to be like the new up-and-coming it young golfer. And now with a potential knee injury, like, not only is there a question of will he, won't he play in the event, but then it gets into how is he going to hold up? How's the body going to hold up for this event?
Right. And I think the practice rounds, especially Monday's practice round when he gets there, is going to be very telling to see how he does, not on the front nine, it's on the back nine. And I think we talked about it last week. Valhalla has a very, very hilly back nine. I'll call it hilly. It's got some severity and some grades in it that are pretty awesome. So it'll be interesting to see how he does there. Hopefully he stays in the field and hopefully he has a chance to, you know, to be there on the weekend. But if you were to ask me literally who's the best player to have not won a major yet, I'd say him, but he's only played in one.
Right.
So I don't know if he's allowed to even.
Yeah, he's not in that,
you know, so.
Yeah, he's not in that sort of
company
stratosphere. Yeah, yeah,
and I don't
for
expect
sure.
him to ever get into that company, to be perfectly candid. But you're right. I think the golf world and the sports books would have made him even more of a favor.
I think he was like fourth or fifth on like the odds listings for the PGAs before he pulled out of the Wells Fargo this week. But it's certainly, I mean, those are the two biggest wrinkles. What's Scotty going to look like as a dad? And then what's Ludvig going to look like, maybe a little dinged up?
And because you have the best player on the planet and the newest best player on the planet, potentially, in Ludvig, who have both, you know, come up against a challenge, right? And so does that now make this field absolutely wide open now? Are we prone to having that all of a sudden JT Poston out of nowhere wins?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
is it going to be one of those years? Because, you know, Scotty may not come into this week as sharp just because, hey, he did the right thing. He went off and had his first child. But now, how much did he practice? How sharp is he? How game day ready is he? You know, we'll see. But if there was, you know, the planets and the stars getting into a certain alignment, we could be seeing a first-time winner, and it would not surprise me whatsoever.
312-332-3776. If you want to join us, John's in Lansing. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hi, how you doing?
What's going on?
I was just calling. I heard you talking about the guys, how they're not doing well and anything on the PGA Tour right now. And I think it's because of when they've changed on the tour to where there's no cuts on some tournaments, these guys have nothing to play for. They're going to get paid either way. So if there's no inner drive for them, they're not going to play well.
Well, yeah. And John brings
Thanks
up
for
a
the
good
call,
point.
John.
I mean, and, you know, is that truly the case with all of them? No, but is there that human nature to relax now, knowing that, hey, I'm not going to incur any expenses no matter what happens this week? Now, my game is on full display for the world to see. I do have to get ready for a major championship. So I don't know that that would be the main driver why they're maybe not performing as well. But I think over the long term, the way the golf ecosystem has been so disrupted by the whole live and paying these players guaranteed money up front, the need to win has been absolutely removed. And we know that as fans. And I think as fans, we don't like it. And how we've shown that we don't like it, we don't watch it anymore. And that's what is of concern to the corporate sponsors, to the higher-ups at the PGA Tour. You know, something needs to be done, and it needs to be done rather quickly. But right now, I think you're looking at, you know, fan exhaustion of this state of affairs right now in professional golf. And, you know, and I think part of it is the, you know, like the caller just said, his perception of this is the guys aren't as hungry anymore. And he's right to a certain degree.
I will push back a little bit because there is a difference between winning this thing and taking home $3.6 million and finishing in last and taking home $40,000.
Like, no, there's no doubt about that.
The purse payouts are certainly significant. And I look at someone like Victor Hovland, like, he's been bad all year.
Yeah.
Like, he's been bad all year long after having a stellar 2023 and looked phenomenal at the BMW Championship here at Olympia Fields. Like, he was, I mean, if you told me and you at the end of last year that this guy was going to be one of the worst golfers we'd see on the tour this year, we would have been like, what are you talking about? But it's the way it's played out this year.
You are so right about that. I thought he would win the Masters back in the fall.
He was in such
a category of he can't miss. No matter how he swung the golf club, it seemed like the ball was landing like a foot or two away from the hole every single time. He could not miss even if he tried to miss.
And then we got to the first week of the April and said, there's no way this guy's going to finish in the top 10.
I know. And after the front nine at Augusta, something happened. And he's not been the Victor we have come to know late last year. Now, does that have anything to do with the cuts? No, but I think there's a perfect example of somebody who hasn't been on top of his game because, I mean, let's face it, he had a lot of success, a lot more, you know, our need of his time between sponsors, new sponsors, mm-hmm. and all the rest of it, and just living life as now a new recognized celebrity in the game of golf.
For sure.
So it does make things change. Now, to your point, you know, are the payouts as dramatic as what they get at LIV? No, I think if you finish in last place at LIV, you get $120,000. Yeah. But I do see where the caller's coming from. I'm not saying it's 100% that by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that there is a certain comfort level that has now started to enter into the equation because the purses are just that big. And after you have some success, is the need to win, to provide for the family and all the rest of it, still as a burning desire as it was when you were trying to put food on the table and live check to check? It's, right. You know, is the mindset still quite the same? Human nature is just it isn't.
Right. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, Jeff Kellen, the PGA golf professional from North Shore Country Club, will join us coming up next. He's participating in the PGA Championships next week, so looking forward to this conversation. He'll be out there playing Valhalla with the big boys. We'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We're talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. And right now we head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. And welcome in Jeff Kellen, the PGA golf professional out at North Shore Country Club in Glenview, Illinois. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike and Tyler, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. I'm sure you're doing even better as you get geared up to go down to Valhalla and compete in this year's PGA Championship. And for you, what are some of the emotions going through you this week as you prep for a golf major to participate in starting on Thursday?
You know, I've tried to keep this week as normal as possible, which for me means, you know, doing my real job. It's a beautiful Saturday here in Chicago, and we've got a bunch of golfers out. So we've been flying here at North Shore Country Club, trying to sneak out and practice and prep a little bit more than I would normally. But you know what? In the end, I'm just excited to get down there. I think it's still pretty surreal until I get on site, it's hard to say that I'm going to be prepared at all.
Well, Jeff, congratulations big time. We couldn't be more proud of both you and Andy, for that matter. You two are the two golf professionals to make the PGA Championship out of the Illinois section since 2004, when Roy Biancalana and Mike Small did it as a pairing. So, you know, you're in some elite company. And for you personally, I've done a little research. Since November, you've had quite a stint here. With you had your first child, you and your wife of 8 years welcomed your first child in November, but you also got the job at North Shore in November, if my research is correct. You then turn around and tie for eighth in the National Club Pro Championship, which last year you tied for second. My question is, you just hit on a glorious Saturday in here in Chicago. What is it about the Club Player Championship that agrees with you, especially at a time of the season when you're the busiest getting your members ready, getting the club ready? How does Jeff Kellen do all this?
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you. It was, I hate to say, a fluke this year because it has been a very, very hectic winter with very little preparation. You spot on there. Had my first child in November, started North Shore in the fall as well. And I told several people I was the least prepared for that tournament this past week as I've ever been for a big event. Thankfully, we get down there 3-4 days early and have a lot of time to practice leading up to it. And the golf course is a great fit for me. I think that was a big factor. I tend to drive the ball really well, and you really needed to drive it well out there in some heavy winds. So more than anything, it's, you know, I'll just look at it as a bunch of blessings all at once and excited to see what this next step looks like.
Jeff Kellen, our guest here, he will be participating in the PGA Championship down at Valhalla this week. He's the head club pro out at North Shore Country Club. So, Jeff, what does your week of preparation look like as you get ready for the PGAs?
So, you know, I'm going to head down there tomorrow, hijacking my wife's first Mother's Day to make a drive to Kentucky. poor gal. But, you know, I'm going to do my best to acclimate to the environment. Before North Shore, I was the head professional at Butler National. That's the ironic wrinkle of this. So Andy took my spot when I left there, which I don't think many people know. But I'm going to get down there, practice as much as I can over the next 4 days, and more than anything, try to acclimate to all the ancillary things. You know, the golf course is one thing, and playing a major, I mean, I don't think I can properly prepare for that, right, being with the best players in the world. But getting used to the people and the movement, the cameras, all the ancillary things that we're not used to doing as, you know, regular Joes out at our regular country clubs, that's going to be the challenge.
So, Jeff, have you played Valhalla? And who will be on the bag for you? Are you going to pick up somebody down there, or is there a lucky Evan Scholar going with you?
I tell you what, I'm a huge supporter of the Evan Scholar program, but I've got somebody very special on the bag. I have not been to Valhalla, but my father is actually going to caddy for me.
That's awesome. That's outstanding.
I played professionally full-time for about 4 or 5 years out of college, and Dad was one of my biggest sponsors and supporters, and he was on the bag for every big event I've ever played in. He caddied in Q schools and the few Korn Ferry Tour events I've played in. Illinois Opens, all those things. So he's seen the highs of the highs, and he's seen the lows of the lows, and this is going to be a really special thing to experience for him. And might, you know, I'm sure he's not ready to hang him up, but it would be a pretty appropriate last swan song for him on the bag.
No doubt about that. Jeff Kellen with us here on the CDGA Golf Show, head club pro at North Shore Country Club. He'll be participating in the PGA Championship this week down at Valhalla. So Michael Block put a lot of pressure on you guys after his showing last year, finishing a tie for 15th. What kind of have you ever met Michael, and how has he sort of set the expectation for club pros now?
I have met him briefly at like the event last week. You know, I don't think it's changed the expectation for many guys. I think people realize that what he did last year was incredibly special, and he's obviously a great player and very accomplished. And you know, what I've told members is when they've asked the same question is, everything went right for him. He's a great player who played really well. He made a hole in one, for heaven's sakes. he made a bunch of putts. Not that another club professional can't do that, but realistically, do you see a great player like that have everything go right and they finish 15th? Whereas if you had the Rory McIlroys of the world, everything goes right, they're going to win the tournament by 7, right? So for me, it's more about I want to go down, I want to have a ton of fun and see what I can do to compare myself to the best players in the world. I'm not too concerned about where I finish or what the score looks like. Obviously, I want to play well and I'm going to grind like crazy. But for me, it's more intrinsic than trying to achieve whatever he did last year.
So, Tyler, I got a question for you. Have you ever met anybody that shot 27 and made 9 birdies on 1-9?
I have not.
Well, you have now. Jeff did it in the second round at the Summer Grove Classic near Atlanta on the Hopkins Tour about a decade ago. What was going through your mind when you did that? And wouldn't that be something if you could strike fire or get lightning in a bottle like that in one of your nines at Valhalla?
I would certainly love it. That was a pretty special day. You know, we talked about Dad seeing the highs of the highs. He was actually, ironically, on the bag that week.
Wow.
And a great little story. We needed to shoot about 5 or 6 under just to make the cut that day. So we got to the back nine there. We needed to make a bunch of birdies, and we're obviously fortunate to get it. But on the last hole, we had just made 8 birdies in a row. It was a long uphill par 4, and I had about 150 yards to a kind of a sucker pin. And he, aim 30 feet left of it, knock it up there, see if we can make a putt. And I looked at him, I said, you're crazy. I'm going right at that pin. Who makes 9 birdies in a row? Hit a good one, and it all worked out. But that's, there's so many things that when you play for a living and you don't make it on tour and achieve those dreams, you kind of have some, not regret, but you look back and, I wish I could have done a little better. But that's one of those things I always look back on fondly.
Well, that's an amazing accomplishment, as is making the championship this year. But has anybody wished you, has anybody come out of the woodwork to say good luck? Has your equipment manufacturer that you rep, or how about the membership? Has anybody done anything unique to send you off to Valhalla tomorrow?
Absolutely. The the best thing about being a club professional, being at a club, and the golf world in general, it's such a small circle. And it's about relationships, and I've been so fortunate with partners, with club members, everybody wishing me well, doing their best to help take care of, chip in for expenses and make sure that I don't have to worry anything on the work side or the personal side and can just go and soak up the moment. So it'll be really fun. I feel like I'm in a spot where I don't have to worry about much except trying to play great golf and enjoying the moment.
Well, Jeff, best of luck to you this week. We'll be watching and rooting for you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Jeff, we'll see you down there. Good luck.
All right, bye.
Jeff Kellen, head club pro out at North Shore Country Club. He'll be playing in the PGA Championship this week. So looking forward to watching him and hoping he can make a little noise down there as well. Would be fun to see. All right, when we come back, we're bringing up a little bit about some of the sponsors not being happy. There is one in particular that has started to express a little bit of frustration about golf viewership and just state of where the game is as well. We'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. We'll be back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology. It's the CDGA Golf Show. We talk golf with you every single Saturday here throughout the golf season. Interesting story from the week. As we know, viewership for the game of golf has not been in a good spot. I think the Masters was certainly an indication of that as they went sub 10 million, and 10's usually the threshold you want to get to. They did not reach that. But now RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, one of the tour's key sponsors, is one that is kind of in flux right now with the way that the game of golf is trending right now. And if you remember last year, RBC, the sponsor of the Canadian Open, what a fantastic finish that was. Not just that, but, I mean, you had a Canadian win it in Nick Taylor. It was a great event, and there is still a little bit of uneasiness about the state of the game of golf.
Well, and you also remember the Canadian Open is where the June 6th happened. It was same event, that infamous Tuesday. So, but what's also interesting is RBC is also the sponsor or the presenting sponsor of the Heritage. So they have an event in the United States and one in Canada. So, you know, the press conference, they had media day this past week, and their chief marketing officer, Mary DiPaolo, spoke. And she was very frank, and she is not real enthused by what is happening and transpiring in the golf world. And none of the sponsors are, and they're very, very concerned, and rightfully so. You know, and some of the language, if you listen to her closely, there's reason to be concerned because this could be their last year. And it isn't, they renewed for this year, but yet they have an option and they could disappear. And it wouldn't be just losing one event, you'd lose two. So, you know, we're starting to irritate the sponsors with all of this fatigue or this unsettledness about where the game of professional golf is. And I think, you know, I love what Brad Faxon said several weeks ago. The dangerous thing is that we've got PGA Tour players that honestly think that they're worth several hundred million dollars because they watch some of their colleagues leave, and that's not a good thing for the long-term health of the game. And I think we're starting to see it. And, you know, and I think, you know, without the sponsors, you know, you have a tough time getting these purses to where they're going to need to be. And if you don't have happy fans and fans that are looking at the optics and looking at the TV, you're not going to have happy sponsors. And if you don't have happy players, you're not going to have happy fans. You're not going to have happy sponsors. Now you have a terrible product. And that is what they're looking down as far as a long-term lens of this thing. And Mary basically brought that front and center and said it's time that they do something, because they said that all partnerships run through, the honeymoon period, the great times, but there are going to be challenges in any partnership, and it's that ability to get through it all. So really, it's which partners will stick with them and which will not. I mean, because that's really what's going to take place here over the next year or two as a lot of these events start having their contracts coming up for renewal or the option to renew and to go on. It's a very concerning state of affairs right now, especially if you are a mid-sized, smaller tour event who is struggling and you are not going to be considered a signature event in any time soon. You've got quite a headwind ahead of you.
No doubt about it. All right, if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. When we come back, we'll make our picks for CDGA's fantasy golf pool for the PGA Championship. All that and more this segment coming up. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.